Hello, my name's Christiana and welcome to the Oceanside Community Church podcast. We're a church in Park Salon, Vancouver Island, with a vision to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive with the Holy Spirit. We welcome you to join us weekly on this journey. For more information about our church, visit our website at oceansidecommunitychurch.ca or download our mobile app. We pray that you'll be blessed and equipped by today's teaching.
It's time now for what is a bit of an annual tradition here at Oceanside, and that's our New Year's Nuggets message. And for those of you not around in previous years, it's a gathering of some nuggets of thoughts, nuggets of wisdom, perhaps. I guess I'll let you decide whether that's true. But either things that were kind of just on my heart or mind or that didn't make it into other messages, and putting them into one message in one place. And, you know, Scripture does this a lot as well. For example, like the book of Proverbs, which is just kind of, you know, random kind of thoughts all pieced together. But even in the New Testament, in several of the letters, you have sections where it's obvious that the writer is just kind of getting some extra things out there that they wanted to point out. And there's some, you know, kind of nugget type of passages in the Bible, such as 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 22, Colossians 4, and especially something like Hebrews 13, where it's literally just 8 verses of 8 different topics real quick that get mentioned as just kind of some final thoughts there. So this morning I'm doing something like that by serving up, so to speak, a four-piece order of nuggets. And usually I serve up a 5 or a 6 piece. One year I even did a 10 piece where it was kind of like rapid fire. But this year it's more like the Happy Meal version of nuggets. And for all you parents and grandparents, you know that a Happy Meal comes with how many nuggets?
6.
No, 4. I just said 4. I'm going to do 4. 4 nuggets. Okay, let's pray. God, even though this is a somewhat fun and humorous tradition, Lord, it's always serious when we come to you, when we come before your word. And Lord, what I want to pray this morning is that one of these nuggets might transform someone's year, or maybe just encourage them what they need to hear today or this week, that it would help them to seek you and love you more, Lord. So whichever one of these or two of these might be specifically for us this morning, that we would take it, that we would apply it, Lord, that it would end up bearing much fruit for your kingdom. And so we pray this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we will jump right in, just like I would, to a box of nuggets with nugget number one, which is the mess of mission. The mess of mission. And I'm going to go to Luke 15:8 here, where Jesus uses this picture and says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? This is just one of my favorite little pictures or pieces of imagery in the New Testament. For it highlights that if we want to display God's heart in finding, reaching, and saving the lost, we got to be willing to get a little dirty, to inconvenience ourselves. In her mission to find the lost coin, it says the woman here lights a lamp. She uses what, you know, little resources she has, which is just a lamp, to get the job done. And the house would have been dark. Of course, there's no electricity in the first century. So she lights her lamp. And then it says she sweeps the house. And a first century home would have had a dirt floor. So she's sweeping through the dirt. And then lastly, it says that she searches carefully, implying she likely got down on her hands and knees with her light and with her broom on that dirt floor with her little lamp and went searching for that lost coin. I mean, it would have been messy and dirty and inconvenient for her. And Jesus uses that as a picture to say, this is my heart. And he calls us to follow him on that example. That if we want to fulfill the vision God has for us to reach the lost and the hurting in our community. We have to be willing to get a little dirty, to put aside what we might think is convenient or easy or comfortable. And so I just love what our church did in stepping up to host the cold weather shelter. And a lot of people really inconvenienced themselves during a holiday week between Christmas and New Year's, not the ideal time. And yet, we had people from our church come in every single day and clean for several hours to clean up, to get ready for the next day. We had people from our church come in as the dinner and the kitchen crew who bought food, who brought it in, who cooked it and made it and left it. Others sacrificed or inconvenienced themselves financially, knowing that it would cost the church a bit to do this and helped us pull it off in that way. And you know what? It was a little messy, both logistically and physically, but it was also beautiful. And like this woman, you just do whatever it takes. And I mean, you know, sometimes, honestly, in the church here, that room kind of started to smell bad or worse as the week went on. It got a little dirty. Some stuff got damaged, but we embraced it as part of the mess of mission that God has called us to. And in fact, our staff kind of had the attitude that, hey, well, if we're going to have kind of some problems or issues or a few things that we got to fix, this is what we want to do it for. And it was kind of exciting in a way. And I was kind of, you know, joking with Thomas a little bit that because, you know, one of our windows got smashed, and I said, hey, this is awesome. We're starting to look like an inner city church. And I said, all we need is a little graffiti outside. And he texted back and said, I'm on it. So we'll look for that artistic creation, whatever he might make there. Hopefully it's a Bible verse or something, at least. But you know, this is not a religious museum. It's a center for people. And people are messy. People are sometimes difficult. And there should be evidence of that mess and difficulty around us. Otherwise, honestly, we're doing something wrong. And so my question for you is, where is God calling you to get a little messy, to get a little dirty, maybe to open up your home to more strangers, maybe to sell off some things you really don't need and give that money towards blessing others? So I'm just going to ask us to pray right now. The message isn't over. Just praying on this point. God, that you would show us where we need to light a lamp, where we need to sweep through some dirt, where we need to search for someone that is lost. We can't expect lost to just show up on our doorstep. We got to go searching. We got to take our tools, our lamp, our broom, and go looking. And so, Lord, I pray that you would show each of us where that is, because you're going to call us to different places, different circumstances. But put it in our hearts and then give us faith and courage to step forward. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's continue to open up our hearts to do what needs to be done. Nugget number two I want to talk about is the other health crisis going on that no one is really talking about. And that is people withdrawing from their community of faith. And there's a strong body of academic research over the last decades that shows that church participation actually promotes overall health and well-being. And there's an article that came out recently that's called The Public Health Crisis No One Is Talking About, and it's in Christianity Today, which is a very reputable magazine. And the study shows that regular participation in worship services in person led to 30% decreased rates of depression, 50% less likeliness to divorce, and 5 times less likeliness to commit suicide than those who did not worship regularly. And these researchers, and just so you know, this is no like fringe quack study or something. This is decades of research from 2 Harvard University professors. So this is like a legit peer-reviewed academic study. But these researchers, they ponder with this overwhelming evidence, and they go through all kinds of stuff, whether doctors might actually owe it to patients, especially those who express a faith, to ask about their worship service attendance in the same way they might ask about diet and exercise and these things, given the scientific correlation between corporate worship and overall health in someone's life. And the researchers found it was in-person attendance specifically, rather than just private practices or self-assessed spirituality, that led to these results. And so, you know, statistics now show us, and the same article mentions this, that at least a third of practicing Christians have stopped joining corporate worship since the pandemic, which I think we're all pretty much aware of, and it's probably even higher than that. But that group in their research reported much higher levels of anxiety and depression than those who actually kept worshiping on through the pandemic. And so a logical, you know, conclusion, especially at this point in the pandemic where we're nearly kind of 2 years in and the severity and danger of the virus is not the same, not saying non-existent, but that it's not wise to not gather. And the potential greater health risk, based on scientific evidence here, is that the health benefits of worship, that the greater health risk is perhaps to not gather, right? Unless our only or number one priority is to stay physically healthy above all else and at all costs, which is a position that a Christian cannot take. The mess of mission would not allow that kind of position. And so it's representative of what has just become a little bit of the idolatry of protecting our physical health above all else. It's okay to protect our physical health, but not above all else. And so that kind of leads us to nugget number three, is that we can't have priorities in the minorities. So let me address what I'm talking about here through Jesus' powerful words in Matthew 16. He says, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. What Jesus is saying is, you're majoring in minor things, and you're minoring in the major things. He says, you know more about weather patterns than you do about spiritual truths and realities. And it's similar to our world, where we sometimes know and pay more attention to protecting ourselves physically than spiritually. And to quote Jesus again, basically, you should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. To summarize Jesus, we major in the majors, we minor in the minors. And, you know, Thomas keeps saying this to our team in what's, of course, been a difficult year where it's been tempting to get distracted or pulled into healthy debates. But he's been constantly saying this in all of our meetings. You know, let's keep the main thing, which is the gospel, what we're called to. And it really, you know, just makes me sad and kind of breaks my heart how so many Christians have completely withdrawn from the body of Christ over the last 2 years. And that doesn't have anything to do with this church. I'm just talking about globally. Like, it hurts if you care about the kingdom, and sometimes doing it over just very minor issues in the scope of the bigger picture of our eternal lives. And Jesus, you know, he says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit our soul? You know, what can we give in exchange for our soul? And at some point, we have to say, what good is it to take all the trips in the world, to do all the home projects in the world, to gain all the health and safety in the world, and yet forfeit our soul? And so, you know, this might sound strong to some, maybe not all, and we, you know, might not all share the same priorities, but I'm surprised sometimes that anyone would expect or want anything different from their spiritual community, their church, or their pastor. Because, I mean, just as, you know, Bonnie Henry's main concern is people's physical health, and I don't hold that against her, right? That's her position. That's her job. It's what consumes her daily. It should be her main priority. It's maybe what I would do if I was her and that was my job. But in the same way, my and the church's, meaning capital C, global church, main concern and priority is or should be people's spiritual health and the state and condition of their souls. That's what consumes us. That's our priority. That's, in a way, our job, to preach the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And I would expect that Christians would at least be equally willing to make sacrifices for spiritual gain in the same way that we've been made sacrifices for our physical gain and protection. And I think that's, you know, kind of all we would want or ask for, at least equal willingness to adjust our lives for the spiritual priorities of the kingdom. So we're going to major in the things we believe are major. And the good part about that means we can disagree about a lot of other things. I mean, within our congregation, we have different opinions about lots of other things, whether it's music or food or education or politics or how to interpret scripture. And we don't have to agree on all those things to worship together or do good together. But we should be spurring one another on towards good works and helping each other major in the majors and minor in the minors, keeping our minds on eternal things. So I think about this kind of weather thing that Jesus says all the time, because it just points to and gets to any idolatry that could be in our hearts. And I was challenged recently, as I'm doing my final draft, finally getting close to the 7-plus-year finish line of my doctoral thesis. And so in order to do that, I have to know this book, which is the Chicago Manual of Style. It is 1,144 pages of formatting guide. How to cite sources, what to capitalize, what not to, abbreviations. I mean, just everything you can possibly think of in this book. And I've been forced to become, you know, a bit of an expert on this. I mean, I know where to find all my answers in this questions. You know, is it a dash or a comma? I can point you to where you would find that information. And I'm willing to sacrifice tons of my free time, my evenings, my weekends, on mastering this book. And that's okay. It's a part of my career, and it's a part of my calling. But I was challenged as I was looking at this passage this week. You know, how much more should I be an expert on the Word of God? To know how and where to find certain scriptures or answers to my questions, to understand the details and intricacies of God's gospel and plan. And so let's make sure the main things, meaning eternal things that matter forever, have top priority in our love and our affections, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it's fitting that my last nugget here in this kind of Happy Meal version of nuggets is about kids and the next generation. And I'll just call this the next generation nugget. And some of the things I'm talking about this morning are about or come out of a concern for the next generation, the future of the church. The same study or article I cited before also showed that the upbringing of kids in a faith community has very similar impact on well-being. Kids brought up in the church had lower rates of depression, substance abuse, and premature sexual activity. Kids who regularly attended church growing up were more likely to grow up happy, be forgiving, and have a sense of mission and purpose. And so 2 decades of research shows this to be true. And we can't rob the next generation of a connection with God because of other or less important priorities. And, you know, I just love what's happening with so many of the kids in our church and families in our church. Over the last month, I've just happened to hear several of these stories, and it just brings me joy and warms my heart and encourages me to keep going. One, you know, grandparent who was telling me the story of their grandchild who kicks and screams every day on the way to daycare but can't wait to come to church on Sunday morning. Other parents who have said that, you know, our kids talk all week about when are we going to church, when are we going to church. One family whose kids couldn't wait to come on Christmas Eve. That was the main thing they were looking forward to. I do a high-low activity with our youngest every night when I put her to bed. You know, what was your high? What was your low? And without fail, on Sundays, when we went to church or something, and I say, hey, what was your high? And she just looks at me and says, you know. And she makes me kind of like ask questions and do something. And eventually I say, going to church? And she nods and says, yeah, that was my high of the day. Or sometimes I ask what was her high. And the first question is, well, did we go to church today? That's kind of like, because if so, that's going to be the high. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't want to, and in fact, refuse to lose a generation of worshipers. And kids and teens, they need to see it. They need to know it from us, to show them the priority that community worship and faith in community has in our lives. Adults, you know, we can make our own decisions about priorities. It's easy for us to do, but kids really can't. They need examples of what it is they're supposed to prioritize. So what are we showing them with our actions? And this kind of brings all the previous nuggets together, that, you know, kids need to see that we prioritize the mess of mission over convenience for our lives, that we're giving our time to things that are important. They need to see us opening up our homes and our possessions and our wallets to those in need around us. They need to know the support system of a church family and understanding that, you know, health is holistic. It's spiritual, emotional, mental, relational, and physical. And what they see us prioritize, you know, what they see us love, or what they see us fear, whether minor things or major things, they will too. So in other words, if we're, you know, as Jesus says, if we're experts on the weather, well, they will prioritize and be experts on the weather too. But if we're experts in spiritual realities and the workings of God's kingdom, they will also make that the priority in their lives. So let's do it for the next generation, right? Let's give for the next generation. Let's worship for the next generation. Let's serve and volunteer for the next generation. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray through this and intercede together. There was an article just came out yesterday in the Global News. You can read it, but, you know, the title was 2040, The End of Religion in Canada. And it was really mostly about Christianity and painting this picture. And I just thought, we just need to pray. We just need to pray for that next generation. Because based on this other study that I read, that's the end of well-being in Canada, potentially. So let's pray. Lord, we come, Lord, with hearts hopefully just awake and alive. And we pray for the next generation, Lord. God, we read a headline like that, but we put it in the context of the Bible and your story and the larger picture that is unfolding, that you never, ever give up on your church. And so, Lord, may we not either. We pray, Lord, that there would be a suddenly of God. We know you can turn things around in just a moment, in a day. You can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years or a lifetime. So we pray for the suddenly of God to bring revival upon our lands, to come and, Lord, awaken hearts to these spiritual realities, Lord, where we're focused, quote-unquote, on the weather, and mastering those things in life, that, Lord, instead our hearts would begin to master the spiritual priorities and realities that are around us, Lord. So we intercede for them, Lord. We pray even specifically, even as we dedicated a child this morning, we pray for the next generation, even within this church, Lord, that they would be strong, that they would be mighty, that they would be kids of prayer and that hear from God and that challenge us in their spiritual walk, Lord. We pray these things in faith, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or download our mobile app for more content. If you're in the area, we hope to see you soon. Until next time, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you as you live by His Spirit.